Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker. And now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I must fact check myself on a couple of points. Number one is the president will be holding his press conference, not now, but like in...
about 15 minutes. Yeah. Of course, that's when it's scheduled to begin, so it's a good bet it's going to be in about
15 minutes
hour.
Or an hour from
an
now.
Hour and... oh, my gosh, doing the same
12:15 Central, 1:15 Eastern.
Central. It'll probably be 12:30 before he actually gets out there, but yes. Yeah. 12:15 okay. Central.
Like an hour and 10
an
minutes.
An hour and 10 minutes from now.
Okay, so I fact checked myself on that.
And me, just a second.
And
ago,
Steve
right?
got the fact check wrong. And so Steve, then I came in.
Steve fact checked me, and you fact checked me wrong. Walker had to fact check you.
I know.
We really need the Washington Post here to do
that
the Pinocchio's.
Second thing, I referenced the Steve Miller Band, Go On, Take the Money and Run song. I said that was from 1976. 75 is actually 1976. For baby boomers listening everywhere who were listening to pop slash rock music.
I'm so glad you corrected
in that.
That
era. Well, I felt bad.
It was bothering me.
Was it?
During the break.
We're a little disappointed, Fred.
That one
Tim.
Year,
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. You can join us Facebook or YouTube by typing in Today's Issues and check us out there. We are posting the stories we're discussing at our Facebook page. You can also send us an email. That must be a K-Love email, meaning positive and encouraging. And you can send that to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve, what do you got?
Well, I want to take you to Michigan. There's a restaurant owner there. Her name is Marlena Pavlos Hackney. She's in trouble because, well, like so many restaurant owners, or a few anyway, she did not close her restaurant as ordered by the state. She has been arrested and put in jail by the attorney general there. Both the attorney general and the judge that she had were being very, very hard-nosed. It was, man, they were yelling at this lady, the judge was. But
really?
Her name was Rosemary Aquilina, and when she asked the Marlena to raise her right hand and tell the truth, Marlena says, "I would like," and she said, "Stop! This is my court. This is not Burger King. When this says Burger King, then you can have it your way. But until now,
is the Michigan business owner that's been jailed.
Yeah, but that's a judge to the Michigan
right.
business owner that's been jailed. Yes." So I want you to hear what Tucker Carlson had to say about this, and then I want to give you some background afterwards. Listen to Cut 10.
Dana Nessel has better things to do than stop murders or figure out why elderly people are dying. She has instead marshaled the full force of the state to crush a single disobedient restaurant owner, a Polish immigrant called Marlena Pavlos Hackney, whom we've had on the show. Pavlos Hackney's crime was disobeying state corona regulations, so last week Nessel had her handcuffed and arrested in a sting operation as she drove to work. Dana Nessel is out of control. She's an ideologue. She cares only about partisan advantage. She should be impeached by the Michigan legislature for her many abuses of power. She's that corrupt. But she's also a bit of a dim bulb, not a super genius. And that's why when she was asked why she put Marlena Pavlos Hackney in jail, Nessel actually admitted the real reason. She didn't make up some fake legal principle. She said straightforwardly that Marlena Pavlos Hackney had dared to come on this show at 8 p.m. and complain about her. That's no longer allowed. And to compound the offense, Pavlos Hackney tried to raise money for her own legal defense. And that, too, is now a crime in Dana Nessel's Michigan.
So let me read you Dana Nessel's statement. This is the Attorney General of Michigan. And she said, Marlena Pavlos Hackney had countless opportunities to comply with even the most basic health and safety protocols to protect her community from the spread of COVID. Instead, she chose to taunt health inspectors, law enforcement, and courts at every turn, going on Tucker Carlson and setting up a lucrative GoFundMe account instead of making even the slightest effort to protect her customers. You want to know where she stands on the political things? One cannot repeat the mantra of law and order and support the activities of Ms. Pablo's Hackney. But if you cheered Donald Trump when he bragged about the many ways he avoided military service while others complied with their legal obligations, it's no wonder you revere this woman. Making personal sacrifice for the greater good of our state and the nation was once considered admirable. Not anymore.
Tell our listeners, because I'm briefly familiar, but why this business owner is being brought before the judge, being attacked by the attorney general there in Michigan.
Well, she has a restaurant. It's a pizza place. It's called Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria. It's in Holland, Michigan. And she was ordered, shut down by the governor of Michigan, and she said no. She kept her, and she was going to keep her
This is all around the so-called COVID restriction.
Because of the COVID restriction. Here's the thing you need to know about Marlena Pablos Hackney. She is an immigrant. She immigrated from the former Soviet Union satellite states, one of the Baltic states. Mm. So, therefore, she's not putting up with any totalitarian state. She's been there.
Yes.
She knows what that means and everything. The judge said, we're in the midst of a pandemic. You have selfishly not followed the orders. You've not followed them for your own financial gain. That's like making a living. It's your own financial gain.
Yeah, and that's not a good representation of America for an immigrant, for a legal immigrant to come over, start a small business, and then have the governor
right
try to shut her business down and put her in jail.
But was she being singled out, or was the whole state under the same?
No, the whole state was under the same order, but she's the one that said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, so, you're going to get in trouble if you do that.
Well, yeah. But,
the question is the constitutionality.
Her in jail, though?
Yeah, of Walmart staying open, but the pizza shop's got to shut down. And if they don't, you go to jail.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some question about whether or not, and her statement about Trump shows that maybe she's in this for a little bit of a partisan reason, mm-hmm. too. So, next story, I want to talk about some fireworks in a hearing that was just happened yesterday. This is the Senate Rules Committee on Wednesday, actually. It was yesterday. Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota chairs this committee. They had on...
Cherish the committee?
Chairs.
That's very sweet of her.
It is. She loves it.
To cherish it.
She chairs the committee. And they had on Michael Walden of the Brennan Center for Voting Rights. I want you to listen because Missouri Senator Roy Blunt is asking Mr. Walden a question. What's wrong with some of the if we want to, the law that they're talking about is H.R. 1, which is a law that would nationalize all voting standards, take the voting rules away from the states and give it to the federal government. It would make things like purging voting rolls illegal, among many other things. Mr. Blunt wanted to know from the Brennan Center, Mr. Michael Walden, what's wrong with purging the voting rolls of dead people? Listen to Cut 9.
Why would that bill, removing dead people from the voter rolls based on Social Security information, be voter suppression?
Because there are frequently errors in the lists that are used in Social Security and other.
So your view would be the federal government is not capable of telling the state which Social Security recipients died and no longer get a check. So we should turn the entire election over to a federal structure. I just don't agree.
Senator Blunt,
that.
Can we allow the witness to answer the question, please?
No. The witness did answer the question. The witness answered the question,
We'll clarify it later.
Senator, the witness answered the question by saying the federal government often is in error in giving information to the states. That was the answer to the question.
Yeah, so... Good point by the
senator.
He
is dunked on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
They went at it afterwards, too, Klobuchar and Blunt still, because she said that in that clip, well, we'll give you a chance to clarify. And she did. And Mr. Blunt said, this was my time. I don't have to do, my questioning.
Yeah, the chairman shouldn't be interrupting. the senator if it's his allotted time. But that's the point. The federal government, the gentleman who was trying to testify in favor probably of Senate Bill 1 about basically federalizing all these elections was probably unintentionally said that the federal government doesn't know how to run elections.
Hey, speaking of Klobuchar, the senator there from Minnesota, the lady you heard speaking, are y'all a little bit surprised at all these Democrat senators who just 2 or 3 years ago said basically that the Senate's existence depended on maintaining the filibuster have now gone 180 degrees? And these same people are saying we got to end the filibuster for the sake of the Senate?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's surprising, but not surprising, because they shift positions, like, depends on whether it's campaign season or not.
This is, I think, one of the differences, though. When Republicans take a look at something like this, well, we could kill the filibuster, we could do everything that we wanted to do. Remember when President Trump had both houses of Congress?
Yeah.
They said, well, no, we don't want to do that because, you know, someday a Democrat might be in power.
Yeah.
And the Democrats say, let's go for it.
Yeah. The Republicans could have ended the filibuster and just run their agenda roughshod or with a majority only about 3 or 4 years ago. In fact, I was in favor of that.
Yeah.
Because I personally don't, I don't think the filibuster is constitutional. It's not in the Constitution. So now, if you want to have a filibuster, do what you're supposed to do, which is talk ad nauseum, hold up the business of the Senate. So I'm not necessarily against ending the filibuster. It's just that the Democrats now find it convenient to give up what they called their hardcore convictions 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just sometimes Republicans can do the same type of thing, but this just Ben Sass, the Nebraska senator, called out the Democrats on this. Do we have that?
No.
Okay. Sorry. But anyway, did you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and I was in favor of the Republicans getting rid of the filibuster when Trump was in office, and I'm still in favor of it because the reason I'm in favor of it is because we never really get to see the implications of the party's political agenda and aspirations. We always debate it. And we have hearings, and we do executive orders, but we never actually pass the legislation, put it into law, and see the long-term consequences of it. And so because the Republicans, history shows, the Republicans will be in charge again one day, and probably they'll be in charge of both chambers of Congress and the White House. And if we keep the status quo and we keep doing what the Republicans say, which is keep the filibuster, then we'll never get anything done. And Democrats probably view the same
well,
way.
Well, the people who are in favor of the 60-vote filibuster would tell you that that's a good thing because it keeps the Senate separate. I'm not necessarily not agree with that. I'm telling you what they say. They say it's a good thing that it takes 60 votes or that the Senate never gets anything done, even if it's your side in control, Republican or Democrat. I remember having a meeting with a sitting United States senator, a Republican, a few years back, who was against ending the filibuster. And for the reasons that we said, that you want to have 60 votes, so it's hard to get things passed. And I remember telling this senator, you know, when the Democrats get control, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. And here we are. We're probably 2 votes away from ending the filibuster. That would be Manchin and Sinema. Sinema from Arizona, the Democrat, and Manchin from West Virginia. I don't think the filibuster is going to be out because I think Sinema and Manchin will hold firm and maybe a few other Democrats. So I don't think it'll happen, but they're very close. The Democrats are very close to ending the filibuster. I respect people who say to me they believe the filibuster should stay in place, the 60 votes. That you can make a reasonable argument for that.
Yeah.
But also, but it isn't in the Constitution.
Yeah, no, and you do.
It's a Senate rule.
It is.
Yeah, and to make that argument to keep the filibuster forever, you do have to admit that Washington will not get anything of value, deep value, done to, for either political party, really.
You remember, this is the Democrats started this ball rolling when they killed the filibuster for Senate confirmations. For judicial confirmations.
And federal judges.
And they got bit by that when President Trump was able to put on two justices.
Yeah.
Now, the filibuster did serve a purpose. Back when the Senate was actually a gentleman's club, and they would have honest disagreement about policy, the filibuster made sure that both parties had a voice in any legislation. One party couldn't just ram something through. It had to be 60 votes, would usually include someone from the other party. And then they could debate things like, should this money go here or there, or should we sign this treaty or maybe not? But now politics is a blood sport, and it's no longer a discussion, and the filibuster is not used to make sure that both parties have...
Yeah, the two parties are so far apart now.
Now all it is a veto by the minority.
But the only thing that I would say is, I think, Walker, if the Democrats were able to pass this, quote, voter reform, H.R. 1, they would use that to gain... They would use those rule changes, that is basically the national government taking over the state's election process, federalizing it. That's what the Democrats want to do because they know that works to their advantage. They would hope then that that would permanently just make the Republicans a minority party. And so the filibuster thus far is stopping that from happening.
Well, yeah, I would say that Democrats historically have used the filibuster and changed the filibuster.
Yes.
For their advantages.
Yes.
And I would say they're going to do that again. Mm-hmm. Because going back to the 1960s, debating the Civil Rights Act, it used to be 67 votes. Democrats used the filibuster, 67 votes, to block civil rights legislation. The Democrats did. Yes, the Democrats did. Well, guess what? They changed it from 67 to 60 so they could get something through. And then here we are, Harry Reid changed it to get something through for the Democrats.
Right.
Here we are, Chuck Schumer says, we're about to get some stuff done. We're going to get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah.
So instead of letting the Democrats always rewrite the rules and get their agenda done, and then we come back 2 years later and go, well, I guess we can use it now. I would argue to go ahead and use it.
The difference is the Republicans are consistent on this. They could have done away with the filibuster with their 53-47 majority a couple of years ago, and they didn't. They didn't just tell the Democrats.
They also didn't get anything done.
Except
that
for tax,
they promised.
Except
true.
For tax relief.
No. That is. I'm not arguing that point. You're not going to get anything of major consequence done except once a year with that reconciliation
filibuster.
Bill.
I mean,
reconciliation maneuver, unless you end the filibuster. I concede that point. I'm just saying that the Republicans, they could have just run over the Democrats 3 years ago, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. We believe in keeping the minority party letting them have a voice in things. Now the Democrats are saying, no, we don't want the Republicans to have a voice in things. We're ready to take our 50-50 and ram it down their throat.
Right.
With the exception of at least two of their own senators, which is a problem. Sinema from
Arizona
and Manchin from West Virginia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's your trip down filibuster memory lane.
There it is.
Right. And was that not good radio there?
That was a 5-minute history lesson on the filibuster.
Wow.
Scintillating.
Okay. Wake up, people.
Hey,
how many people fell asleep right there?
I don't know. I think it's good. People need to know what's going on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Little inside baseball. The Clinton Foundation is going to have a one-on-one conversation. They're inviting Kamala Harris to come along and have a one-on-one conversation, and the conversation is about empowering women and girls in the U.S. throughout the world. Guess who's going to be having that one-on-one conversation with Vice President Kamala Harris? Bill Clinton. Listen to what Greg Gutfeld had to say about that on The 5 yesterday, Cut 11.
In between giggle fits, Vice President Harris is set to sit down with Bill Clinton to discuss, quote, empowering women and girls. Why is the incumbent Democrat VP interviewing the Democrat ex-president? Even CNN wouldn't allow that, unless they're brothers. And I'm sure when asked about empowering women and girls, Bill said, when and on what private island? Funnier than kids in cages, right, Kamala? Like, man, diabolical laughter is the best medicine. The last time a VP laughed that hard, he was in an orange hunting vest telling his buddy to walk it off. What's this really tell you? That people really don't like Hillary or Chelsea. I mean, you got a Clinton symposium on women, and you don't pick them to host it?
That is so true.
That guy's a comic genius, but he also makes a lot of great points in the meantime. Yeah.
And the orange vest is when Dick Cheney shot his pal when they're hunting in Texas.
That's right. Now, there's a lot in that monologue that I couldn't put on our air.
That just so invites mockery. You got Bill Clinton, best known politically, best known as being a womanizer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, I mean that was his reputation, and well earned it was. And now he and Kamala
Harris.
It sounds a lot like Cruella DeVille if you listen closely.
A little bit.
that they're going to chair this women's what now?
It's a one-on-one conversation on the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on women and empowering women and girls in the U.S. and around the world.
Well, now, isn't it? It's not really appropriate for a man to be part of that. It seems to me that the women's groups would object to that. You should have a woman. Two women leading that.
Tucker makes a great point. What's on Hillary and Greg Chelsea's? Greg Gutfeld makes a good point. What's on Hillary and Chelsea's schedule that they can't do this?
Out of all men.
I know, right?
It just invites mockery.
Yes.
Okay? They need to get somebody like Andrew Cuomo or... You know what I'm saying? Somebody that's more reputable with respect to women's issues. In the Democrat Party. Yeah. And he lives in Albany. He could drive down to New York. Huh?
Maybe just do Andrew Cuomo and Bill Clinton together.
There you go.
Who needs VP Harris, right?
Yeah. Or they could get the Clinton's old pal, Harvey Weinstein.
That's right.
You know, he probably has, or is he in Rikers?
He is in Rikers. He was mentioned on that monologue.
But. Okay. Well, he could probably zoom in.
Yeah.
You know, help out with that particular situation. All right. Steve, you got anything left?
I do.
To tell us.
Vaccinations are now part of the thing. So somebody was having a little fun with vaccinations and kind of put it to a musical. Listen to Cut 12.
It's vaccination day. It's vaccination day. It's vaccination day. Appointments are open. I'm group 4. I don't have to stay here anymore. I'm sick of eating takeout on these plates. The time indoors has got me stressed, but I just checked on CVS.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, I think that's I was looking that up. That's that may be a takeoff on Frozen.
It kind of sounded like it.
Yes, it is a musical. They had another one with Let It Be, but yes, Let It Be.
Let it snow.
Let It Stay. Let It.
No, Let It Snow?
No, that's...
Let It Go.
Let It Go.
You see, we're not... We're not frozen experts.
At least you have little kids. I don't.
We knew it was Let It Something.
You live in this world today, you have children or grandchildren, you can't escape Frozen.
That's true.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, folks. We hope you have a great rest of your Thursday. And, hey, tomorrow Learning University will be in session. So join us tomorrow, JJ. Ed, professors JJ and Ed will join me, Tim. We'll see you then.